I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. First Corinthians 4 and verse number 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. And then if you'll turn to John chapter 21, starting in verse number 18. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. When we're young, we have this independence, we can do whatever we want. But there will come a time, if the Lord tarries, where we grow old and we can't always be so self-sufficient. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that he that disciple should not die, yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testified of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word. Touch it, make it alive. Allow it to minister to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Here in John 21, Jesus tells Peter he won't always be so self-sufficient as he is now. Sometimes when we have this strength, it really can be our weakness. One day someone else will have to dress you and even carry you where you don't even want to go. Of course, Peter didn't want to hear that. He, like all of us, want to be self-sufficient in everything we do. We want to be independent of having to depend on somebody else. Notice when we don't want to face the reality of our own life, we then compare ourselves to somebody else that's around us. Well, I'm as good as so-and-so, and they aren't going through this, you know, why should I have to go through it? I don't understand why I'm in this predicament and they're not. You can come into church having problems and everybody else is happy and you're maybe a little bit angry because they're happy and you're not. I had to renew my concealed carry this month. And I didn't get it, and I didn't get it, and so finally I had to call, and today they told me, I'm sorry, you're dead. I assured them that I wasn't, you know. Yeah, I'm still all right, you know. My death has been greatly exaggerated. Hallelujah. I feel all right. But some people can get to that place where they feel like they're dead. I'm worthless. I don't have anything to look forward to. When Peter heard Jesus, Peter immediately turned around and looked at John. And he knew Jesus loved John very much. John, the emotional apostle, always leaning on Jesus, always touching Jesus, always telling Jesus, I love you. It was his temperament. It was his emotion. Peter wasn't like that. Peter was more impetuous and down to the facts, but John wasn't. John was a feely, emotional kind of guy. What about him, Jesus? You know? Is that fair? That he should live forever and I'm not? Now listen again to what Jesus said in John 21 and 22. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow me. You know, he has the power in his hand to give us an extra day or an extra 20, 40 years. It's got nothing to do with anybody else. It's got everything to do with the relationship that you have with God. Amen. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see? We can't put confidence in our strength or somebody else's strength or something else in our life, but we have to have confidence in God. In other words, Peter, that's my business. It's not yours. Yours is just to follow me. Just keep following me. Keep doing what's right. You see, don't worry. You're not going to be shortchanged, Peter. He didn't tell him right away, but you're going to have the greatest message that anybody ever preached. We have a tendency to always compare ourselves among ourselves, focusing on other people and their relationship with God instead of just worrying about our own relationship with God. You see, Jesus said, "What is that to thee? Just follow me." So simple. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Too many people lose out with God because they're looking at the lives of somebody else. Love stands alone, but you know, bitterness and envy and hate needs a crowd. Jesus was alone on the cross while a crowd had to be formed to arrest him in the garden. David stood alone while Saul had an entourage of people around him. A majority doesn't make things right. We have a tendency to think if there's enough people who think my way, it'll be okay, but that's not the case at all. You know, you're always a majority if you're with God. Have you noticed that people who are not willing to follow God or his principles always gather support from those people who like to think the way they think? You can always find somebody who will think your corrupt way if you want. There are plenty of them out there. And if you get enough people, you have enough confidence to believe that this is okay. But God is looking for people who will not just follow anybody, but will only follow him. They are confident in their relationship with God. And that's the key. When you're confident in your relationship with God, then you have peace that passes all understanding. You have a level of faith that allows you to receive something from God that nothing else can if you have confidence in God. If you have confidence of God, you're not afraid of anything else because you believe God is in your corner. God's going to take care of your situation. Those kind of people don't talk about their accomplishments, their position, their successes, or what they have, or how they compare to other people. They just talk about their confidence in God. You know, early Christians greeted each other with, "What has God done for you?" rather than, "You know what I did? You know what I have?" Faith is built based on testimonies of people to people. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God's done some things for some of you this week. And really, in order to strengthen the congregation, we need to tell others, what has God done for you? How good has he been? And then if I understand how good God has been with you, then I believe that God can do the same thing for me, you see? Take a look at Philippians, the first chapter, and verse number 6. Being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The confidence is, you know what, I'm going to make it. I don't care what obstacles I have in front of me, I'm going to make it. He started me on this path, and he's going to finish. Hallelujah. Verse number 12 says, but you should understand, brethren, that the thing which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. You know, Paul had this idea that whatever happened to him, it's going to be better for me. All things work together for good for those that are the called according to his purpose, not our purpose, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confidence by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. They're confident in what's happened to me and what and how God has delivered me, and they speak without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my bonds, you see. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Nothing is going to change me from believing in the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectations and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Such confidence in God. Amen. I wonder if we had that kind of confidence in God, what God could do for us. One of the people I've looked up to over the years is Brother Bill Davis. He's one of the best teachers, preachers I've ever heard. In fact, he did the dedication of our new edition back 13 years ago, something like that. But he had heart surgery. He had two strokes. He had a brain blood clog. And as he came out of that, he had a terrible auto accident all in 1 year. Just an awesome guy. But all this has caused his faith to soar and magnify God. It's amazing. Being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. See, we don't understand what God is doing in other people's lives. Sometimes we don't even understand what God's doing in our life. So we're not in a position to offer our opinion to other people, because I don't even know if my opinion matters in my own situation. Just follow me. Just do what's right. Jesus told Peter, "What's that to you? It really doesn't matter." Glory to God. Galatians 6 and 17. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Over the years, each of us have gone through some difficult times, and maybe this year has been the most difficult for you. I know my wife is going through a very difficult time because of the loss of her mother. She goes through waves of grief. No one's ever prepared for a loved one to die. And what they do is they cause internal scars, things that will be with us perhaps for the rest of our life. And the scars tell the story. The greatest of the apostles had more scars than any other in the Bible. Situations that he went through, yet he probably was the greatest of all of the apostles, Paul was. So turn to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verse number 18. He's saying to the church at Corinth, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For you suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak, howbeit wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure in prisons, more frequent in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, and cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all of the churches. Who is weak? I am not weak. Who is offended? And I am not burned. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. So he's saying, here's a man who is called of God to do greater things than perhaps all of the other apostles. And yet look what he has gone through. And sometimes we look at our own lives and we evaluate them based on what's going on in our lives. And yet God is such a rewarder if we go through our situations and still have faith in God. We all have marks that identify us from others. Many times they are battle scars because of some difficult time or tragedy in our life. Everyone who will serve God will bear marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to get this, go through this thing unscathed, you see. Paul said he had marks of ownership in his body. And that seems strange. You will notice that Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus, not the marks of the enemy, not the marks of disease, not the marks of those who beat me mercilessly. These marks from beatings and stripes and peril were marks of ownership that were given to him by God. Sometimes we don't understand God, why am I going through what I'm going through? But sometimes it's a prelude to promotion and benefits and blessings. Paul gloried that he was marked by the hand of God. Paul was saying hey, you can't trouble me. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God is going to be with me. I am confident that God's with me. Jesus loves me so much that he put his mark of ownership on me. The word mark in the Greek is the word stigma, and it means to cut or puncture, to recognize ownership, a scar of service. Webster defines stigma as a mark put on the skin of a slave or a birthmark. Some have birthmarks. It just came with the birth. And when we're born again, there's always going to be some birthmarks identifying who we really are. We all have some. Scars of service. They are birthmarks of being born again, marks that identify us as a slave for Christ or in complete service for God. We may not be able to see the marks, but they have been some trials that have left marks, and we know that we went through it, and I remember their internal scars, if you will. If you'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. He's saying, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I don't understand it. I have confidence, but thank you, Jesus. Did you know that the devil is a Xerox machine of all spiritual worlds? There isn't anything that's original with the devil. He is a copycat of everything that God has put in the book. He hasn't come up with one original idea yet. He copies everything the Lord has ordained for his people and tries to make it his own idea. Take a look at Revelation, the third chapter. Verse number 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. So God, one day, will write a new name upon each and every one of us. There's part of the scripture that talks about a name that nobody else knows. And then if you'll look at Revelation, the 13th chapter, and verse number 16, you'll see the copycat. This is the Antichrist, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, say he that had the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666. Now you have to understand that the Antichrist cannot come onto the scene until after the church is raptured up. Don't be confused by any of that. Therefore, we're not going to be here when the Antichrist will cause people to take a number or a mark, you see. But what I want you to see is he's a copycat. God is going to put a name on our forehead. We belong to him. He's marked us as his belongings, you see. But the enemy of our soul wants to take us back. And he'll never relent from that. He wants us back. But before that day, the devil wants his mark of ownership on people. It was a common custom in Bible days for people to mark their bodies with figures of whom they worship. Very common back then. Today, Hindus still put that sectarian mark on their foreheads for civil and religious purposes. When I was in the Army, we were trained by the 101st Airborne Screaming Eagles, and everybody in our company wanted a tattoo so they could identify with the Screaming Eagles, the 101st Airborne. No, I didn't. But you know, we want to belong, you see. I want to belong. I want to belong. I want marks of ownership on me to identify I belong to him. Leviticus 19 and 28 says this: ye shall not make any cuttings or incisions in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. The Lord's marks are all internal. See, but this world wants us to identify with something else, you see. There are many that I have baptized over the years, especially at the prison, who they've had marks all over them, tattoos and carvings and piercings. But then God put his mark on them, and now they're marked for Jesus Christ. It said, I will write upon him my new name. We've been marked, folks, for the Lord Jesus. So do you bear the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ on you? Every one of us have. Every one of us. Think it not strange that these things happen to you. But every time you come up against a situation or a difficulty, you know, God is always there in order to help you through it, like he did with Paul, open some prison doors. Whatever is needed, there's nothing too hard for God. A battle scar of something you had to go through, maybe it's COVID. Maybe it's the loss of somebody. You don't understand it. Someone let you down. You've been rejected by a very close friend. When my wife and I came into the church, all of our friends just, they're gone. They didn't want anything to do with us. In fact, they're even our family. And it's at that point you have to decide, who am I standing for? Who's really important in my life? Even Jesus said in Matthew 10 that our worst enemies are going to be those of our own household. You see, because it's probably the greatest obstacle that we have to go through. Hurts because we're living for God. Lose someone you love. No one knows like Jesus knows, because he has experienced every one of those things. We have a high priest who has been touched by the feelings of our infirmities, has experienced every one of those things, rejections and loss, scars of service, marks of ownership, a stigma to the world, but birthmarks of the church. Permanent reminders of all of the victories that we've had with God. Sometimes we need to go back and count the scars. Take a look at them. Oh, I remember when that happened. But God brought me through. And the marks let us know who we really belong to. The last scripture is found in John, the 20th chapter. Starting in verse 24. All the disciples are gathered together. Verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into the side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Scars that he endured, showing ownership. We belong to him. Hallelujah. When we go through some of these things, think about what our God went through for us. Hallelujah. When he comes back, you're going to be able to see the scars in his hands, his feet, his side. Scars of ownership that he belongs to us, and we belong to him. Amen. Glory to God. Do you love him tonight? Would you stand with me, please? I believe that 2022 is going to be the best year that this church has ever seen, because people have been faithful. People have had confidence in God that what he started, he's going to finish. Amen. That he is always a rewarder of those who have been faithful and diligent. I believe we're going to see family members come back into the church. We're going to see friends that used to be in the church come back. I believe it with all of my heart. Hallelujah. I think this was just a prelude to some great things that our God is going to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So thank you for being faithful, and thank you for having birthmarks. Amen. The altar is open. Would you come?